We ravaged the land again. Bands of Danes rode into every part of Mercia and slaughtered whoever resisted, took whatever they wished, then garrisoned the principal fortresses before sending messages to Denmark for more ships to come. More ships, more men, more families, and more Danes to fill the great land that had fallen into their laps. I had begun to think I would never fight for England, because by the time I was old enough to fight, there would be no England. So I decided I would be a Dane. Of course, I was confused, but I did not spend much time worrying about my confusion. Instead, as I approached 12 years old, I began my proper education. I was made to stand for hours, holding a sword and shield stretched out in front of me until my arms ached. I was taught the strokes of the blade, made to practice with throwing spears, and given a pig to slaughter with a war spear. I learned to fend with a shield, how to drop it to stop the lunge beneath the rim, and how to shove the heavy shield boss into an enemy's face to smash his nose and blind him with tears. I learned to pull an oar. I grew, put on muscle, began to speak in a man's voice, and was slapped by my first girl. I looked like a Dane. Strangers still mistook me for Ragnar's son, for I had the same fair hair that I wore long and tied with a strip of leather at the nape of my neck. And Ragnar was pleased when that happened. Though he made it plain that I would not replace Ragnar the Younger or Rorik. "If Rorik lives," he said sadly, for Rorik was still sickly. "You will have to fight for your inheritance," Ragnar told me. And so I learned to fight, and that winter, to kill. We returned to Northumbria. Ragnar liked it there, and though he could have taken better land in Mercia, he liked the northern hills and the deep vales, and the dark hanging woods, where, as the first frosts crisped the morning, he took me hunting. A score of men and twice as many dogs beat through the woods, trying to trap boar. I stayed with Ragnar, both of us armed with heavy boar spears. "A boar can kill you, Ortred," he warned me. "He can rip you from the crotch to the neck, unless you place the spear just right." The spear, I knew, must be placed in the beast's chest, or if you were lucky, down its throat. I knew I could not kill a boar, but if one came, I would have to try. A full-grown boar can be twice the weight of a man, and I did not have the strength to drive one back. But Ragnar was determined to give me first strike, and he would be close behind to help. And so it happened. I have killed hundreds of boars since, but I will always remember that first beast, the small eyes, the sheer anger, the determination, the stench, the bristling hairs flecked with mud, and the sweet thud of the spear going deep into the chest. And I was hurled back as if I had been kicked by Odin's eight-legged horse. And Ragnar drove his own spear through the thick hide, and the beast squealed and roared, legs a-scrabbling, and the pursuing dogs howled. And I found my feet, gritted my teeth, and put my weight on the spear and felt the boar's life pulsing up through the ash shaft. Ragnar gave me a tusk from that carcass, and I hung it next to Thor's hammer. And in the days that followed, I wanted to do nothing except hunt, though I was not allowed to pursue boar unless Ragnar was with me. But when Rorik was well enough, he and I would take our bows into the woods to look for deer. It was on one of those expeditions, high up at the edge of the woods, just beneath the moors that were dappled by melting snow, that the arrow almost took my life. Rorik and I were creeping through undergrowth, and the arrow missed me by inches, sizzling past my head to thump into an ash tree. I turned, putting an arrow on my own string, but saw no one. Then we heard feet racing away, downhill through the trees, and we followed. But whoever had shot the arrow ran too fast for us.